olo e mafuta male SBS Samoan.
Michelle Hichelin, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
The Seizing the Moment report outlined for us some of the main or some of the key recommendations in the report.
Yeah, so this is a report that ActionAid, along with the Pacific Island Climate Action Network and other partners, have developed, which is outlining a new climate finance goal that delivers for the Pacific. So very specifically, it's calling on wealthy nations like Australia to mobilise US $1 trillion in global climate finance in order to support low-income countries, and particularly our neighbours in the Pacific, that are bearing the brunt of the climate crisis.
Part of this report, or one of your recommendations, is calling for something called the New Collective Quantified Goal. Tell us about the NCQG.
This goal is actually being negotiated at the UN Climate Conference later this year in Baku, Azerbaijan. And it is designed to reach an amount that wealthy nations commit to mobilise for low-income countries who've done the least to cause the climate crisis but are experiencing some of the worst impacts with fewer resources to cope. It replaces the existing commitment that wealthy nations had made to mobilise US $100 billion over the 5 years leading into 2025. There's currently quite a lot of deadlock and debate about what this goal should be. And based on our needs assessment, we believe US $1 trillion is essential to make sure, countries can transition away from fossil fuels, that they also have the resources to be able to adapt to climate change impacts, and even in the Pacific to be able to respond.
What do you hope that small island nations in the Pacific will use that for?
Well, the first thing I want to say is that it might sound like a lot of money, US $1 trillion, but we need to remember that globally, subsidies to the fossil fuel industry amount to over US $7 trillion every year. Even my own country, Australia, is projected to contribute $54 billion over the next 4 years to the fossil fuel industry and subsidies. So it might seem ambitious, but this is about really shifting the money out of the bad to making sure that frontline communities have the resources they need to be able to respond to the increasing impacts of climate change. What we're calling for in terms of this goal is that that money would go to climate change adaptation, mitigation, and loss and damage funding. So it's across the board. I mean, it's everything from how communities can look at, clean energy, but also how they can adapt to climate change in terms of things like impact on crop production or access to water, and definitely looking at resettlement that's needed. I think the issue of loss and damage is an important one. I mean, we've seen a number of countries in the Pacific really hit hard by recent climate-related extreme weather events. So if you look at even Vanuatu last year, the twin cyclones, the cost to Vanuatu, the loss and damage caused by those twin cyclones that hit within the space of 48 hours was over US $400 million. Now, Vanuatu has to try and recover from those losses and damage. It needs financing to be able to rebuild, to relocate, and to support communities who've been impacted from those twin cyclones. So this is about having money into communities so they can adapt.
And the Pacific Islands Forum is actually underway in Nuku'alofa in Tonga right now. And it was a town that was completely destroyed by a cyclone not very long ago. Senator Pat Conroy is saying from the Pacific Islands Forum that we, as in our government here in Australia, we are on target to reach our emissions target by 2030 and net zero by 2050. Do you believe him, or do you think that's a bit too ambitious?
We want to see Australia reach its ambitions, its emissions targets by 2030. And I mean, you know, Pacific Island countries depend on it. You know, if we can't stay below 1.5 degrees of the increase of 1.5 degrees of global warming, then we will just continue to see extreme flooding, extreme cyclones, extreme drought that will hit Pacific Island nations the hardest. So we need Australia to step up and to deliver on that. But we also, at the same time, need Australia to make sure it is delivering on climate finance to Pacific nations. We know even under the current goal of US $100 billion, Australia is still not contributing its fair share. We're only currently contributing about 15% of what we should be providing. So we need Australia to definitely keep on track with cutting emissions, but also make sure that it's delivering on the climate finance that's needed.
What does your organisation, what does ActionAid hope to see with regards to climate action from the Pacific Islands Forum this year, and especially from our own government?
I think that we need to see Pacific countries working together and Australia being part of that effort to make sure the kind of level of ambition is reached when countries go into the UN Climate Summit later this year. We need to see much more ambitious action around reducing global emissions if we are to stay below that 1.5 degree target, but we also need to see a collective commitment to mobilise the resources that are needed that are going to help us get there. And just to give you an example, even in Indonesia, which is one of the highest, carbon emitters globally, they want to rapidly transition from fossil fuels. But to do that, they need access to resources. So we need rich nations like Australia, like the US, like the UK, like the European Union to step up and deliver it the ambition that's needed. And I think what's critical in the Pacific is that Australia joins with Pacific Island nations to take a strong stance to deliver on the resources that are needed.
Michelle Hichelin, thank you very much for talking to me.
Very happy to talk to you. Thank you very much for your time.
Like, share, mafa'ali sa finangalo, muli-muli ile SBS Samoan ile Facebook.